May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you had the chance to look up at the sky last Saturday night, you would have seen it. As clear as can be, there shone full moon after the spring equinox. Its light gave a radiance to the night sky. And looking at it made me think about the first lesson appointed for this evening, and to marvel at the fact that this is the very same light that led the people of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt thousands of years ago. Because of the light of that first full moon, our Jewish brothers and sisters have Passover. In that light, our Lord shared the Last Supper, the Passover meal, with his friends. And likewise, we have tonight's meal and betrayal, tomorrow's cross, and Easter's glory. Whenever we gather at the altar to share in the sacred mystery of Christ's body and blood, we actually enter into that Passover. We remember the Last Supper. We recall the Lord's death. But remembering is much more than just a recollection of the past. The word in Greek is anamnesis, meaning to make present. To make present here and now. So it is at the altar of God, Christ's sacrifice is made present and real here and now. Lift up your hearts, bids the priest to us. With that, we are invited to ascend up with our hearts into the upper room with the Lord and his disciples, to partake in the gift of his body and blood, his very life which feeds us, his very life which passes over from bondage into freedom, from death into life, his very life and death, which is our way through the dark waters of the Red Sea and into the promised place of new and eternal life. These early days of spring, even with the light of that extraordinary new moon, can still be very cold indeed. Winter always seems to have something of a last grasp on us in early April, a bit like the last grasp of sin, which this week is all about. We can't get away from it. The events we recall now, especially tonight and tomorrow, are about sin. The human condition is broken, profoundly wounded, to use the old words, divided and rent asunder. And this week is the promise that God Almighty will make it whole again. The fickle shouts of praise from last Sunday are silenced by louder shouts that call for the death of an innocent man. It is about betrayal, about the abuse of power, about self-preservation, about despair and fear. You will all become deserters because of me. You and I know this, even when we pretend otherwise. It's all part of the Holy Week story. To be honest, the darkness seems not to let go at times. I don't know what has become of this world. You've heard that before, Maybe you've even said it. I wouldn't want to be a young person these days. Look at the state of things. You've heard that, and maybe you've said it as well. Who knows what tomorrow brings? Well, one thing we can be sure of is that indeed more troubles will come, more relationships will break down, more disease will be diagnosed, people will have lives of toil and of hardship. And here is precisely the moment that Jesus Christ steps in to show something else. Like the tenacity of the spring flowers waiting defiantly to come up from the cold ground, the Lord himself defies the sin and treachery which threaten to relegate him simply into the pages of history. We are in Bethany tonight. Darkness has descended. Beyond the safety of their sanctuary, the wheels are turning furiously in preparation for his final trial and death. Jesus knows as much. The clock is ticking. Jesus could run, but he doesn't. He could negotiate, but he doesn't. You know, he could end it. He could spare himself from the agony that is to come, but he doesn't. What he does is he steps in. Actually, what he really does is he steps down to show something even more powerful. He shows us real love. Love is not resentful or boastful or rude, writes St. Paul. Love seeks not her own, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly. Love never ends. 30 years or so before Paul wrote those words to the church in Corinth, Jesus himself embodied them. On the dreaded night before his death, Jesus shows us the quality of love. For the love that never falters, the love that stands the test, the love that lays upon the altar is, in the final analysis, the same love that carries us through our trials and tribulations, the love that calls us to our true selves by calling us back to God. Less is often more. By saying very little, Jesus' action says everything. He takes a towel, he stoops down to the ground, and washes the feet of his friends. It was a common act that guests expected to have done when invited into a home. Only it was the servant or the slave's job to perform it, the one who is supposed to live out back. But here it is different. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the great I Am, God in human form, washes the disciples' feet. You see, he loves tonight, not from on high. He loves from down low, seemingly beneath his dignity. Tonight, redemption, salvation, touches us from below, from the place of humility. The word humility comes to us from the word humus, meaning earth. From the lowest place, from the grit of the ground, he washes the feet of his friends, including the one who is about to hand him over for a sack of silver coins. The love of Christ washes us in forgiveness, all of us. He shows that love never ends. And I can't help but think, how on earth did he get through that terrible night? I suppose because he did something for others. It doesn't stop at the foot washing. He gives a meal, and in that sacred feast, he gives himself. And isn't it incredible, sad, extraordinary, in fact, that Judas is there for all of this, for the foot washing, for the meal? Jesus goes so far as to share the bowl with him. Love is powerful enough to prevail even in the presence of the betrayer. It seems that Jesus does this even for Judas. And who of us can say honestly that there is no part of Judas in us? Well, the truth is we can't. When we turn a blind eye to suffering, we stand with Judas. When we let fear prevail, we stand with Judas. When we seek our own power, we stand with Judas. When we don't speak the truth, we stand with Judas. When we deceive others, when we deceive ourselves, we stand with Judas. When we push to the front of the line, we stand with Judas. An old Lenten hymn puts it like this: Who was the guilty? Who brought sin upon thee? Alas, my treason, Jesus, hath undone thee. 'Twas I, Lord Jesus, I, it was denied thee. I crucified thee. Today is the Maundy, the Mandatum, the new commandment of love. For that's what Maundy means. This is the special day of friendship. Jesus bends down, takes the towel, and washes the disciples' feet, our feet. And this is the day of that sweet banquet, the celebration of friends, in which the one true friend of all of humanity gives himself, that we may dwell in him and he in us. He takes simple bread and wine and says, "This is my body, this is my blood, given for you." Yes, the winter of sin, the winter of betrayal, is very real and very cold. It has perhaps one last hold on us. Tomorrow, the grasp will be nails. The cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But for now, we remain. He dries our toes, even when we have trampled over his world. He feeds us with his life, even when we are so satiated and full of ourselves. Winter, yes, has a bitter hold on us. That seems especially true in this pandemic year. Yet Jesus, our friend, Christ, our Passover, shows us its frailty, for he is sacrificed for us. In his marvelous poem, George Herbert puts it like this: Love bade me welcome, yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, You shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful, oh, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, Who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? My dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did sit and eat.